ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي دروس شيخ Honorable brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home. Inshallah ta'ala, I wish to dedicate our session tonight to the family of Dr. Tawfiq Saab. I wish to dedicate our session tonight to the family of Dr. Tawfiq Saab, whose entire family perished in the tragic events that we all know of last Thursday, being Yawmul Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant every single one of them shahadat and a place in Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah ta'ala. Of course, it has been a very high profile case, both nationally, internationally, and the police are also working around the clock. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that justice is given to the family, insha'Allah, and the perpetrators are punished for the crimes they have committed, insha'Allah ta'ala. Of course, so far, two people have been charged. One individual in relation to the incident of Kent Street, where a man had been stabbed and then he died also. And one man in relation to that has been charged. And another individual has been charged just last evening, yesterday. And the inquest for this case in relation to Dr. Tawfiq Saab was opened up today in the morning at 9 o'clock. And the person they have is a young individual, 18 years of age. So to my knowledge, no names have been mentioned. And so, khair, alhamdulillah, the police have been working very hard. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that justice is shown to both the families. I wanted to dedicate this session to Dr. Tawfiq Saab, a very special individual. And perhaps many of you have had the opportunity now to meet him and to see him, but may not have any insight to his background information, his family. And so just to give you very briefly an understanding of who this man is, Dr. Tawfiq Saab, born in Pakistan, Karachi, as a qualified neurosurgeon working as a consultant in Ireland. And so, mashallah, a very professional individual. And to be a neurosurgeon, it means at least, to the least, you need brains. To the least, you need brains. And his subject is the brain. And he came from Saudi Arabia to Dublin, Ireland. when he got to Ireland, mashallah, his entire family are all pious members, mashallah, very pious. And Allah had blessed him with three children, Zainab, Bilal, and Jamal. What Dr. Saab wanted is that for the children to grow up in that right environment, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them and they see success in this world and also in the hereafter. And this was the intention. And the wife was also a pillar of support. Pillar of support. The wife's name is Shanila. And she was prepared to do everything for the husband. MashaAllah. And that is how all the travels began, with this one intention, to provide the right environment and to give the children the right upbringing, which is so important. And the father's intention was only so Allah blesses them with Jannat in the hereafter. That is it. And so, mashallah, from Ireland, they came to England, and from city to city, city to city, moving around, looking for the best location, hungry and thirsty for Islam, thirsty for knowledge, thirsty for Quran, thirsty for the Sunnah, thirsty for pious people, thirsty for the scholars, thirsty for that Islamic environment, and traveling everywhere. Manchester, London, Nottingham City, with all the different scholars, all the different institutes. And khair, finally, the destination was Leicester. And so the family came to Leicester, settled in Leicester. And Shanila Apa, this lady, mashallah, at that age, it's so difficult when you are a mother of three children, a full-time mother and a full-time wife, and then to take out time for such an intensive course as Ilmiya, Islamic theology, it's not easy. But subhanallah, she was of the mindset that if I want to give something to my children, I should have the right knowledge. If I want to give something to my children, I should have the right knowledge. And she herself prepared for that journey. Going to individuals, ladies, learning Arabic, Arbi Awwal, Arbi Dom, coming to Leicester, moving around from one Darul Uloom, one Islamic institute to another Islamic institute everywhere. And bi fazlillahi ta'ala, she was given a place also at the Darul here for women, Jamia Masjid. And imagine, she got a place in the fourth year of Islamic theology, that is Arbi Chahrum. So this tells you that already she has done 4 years for her to be given a place in the fourth year. And again, whilst studying, making sure that the children are given also the right nurturing. And Dr. Saab, at the same time, showing Qurbani, the sacrifice, that for 8 years, 8 years, leaving the family one side here in Leicester, and he would travel up and down. Every fortnight he would come. And he said to me, Maulana Saab, when I come, people are resting in the night, and when I leave, people are still sleeping. That is how I come. Nobody knows me. Nobody knows me. When I come, people are sleeping, resting, late in the night. By the time I get home, it's late. And when I leave, it's very early in the morning, 4 o'clock, to get back to work. And this had been the lifestyle for 8 years. And he would phone home every night and every day. And the concern was, beta, what para did you read today? What sipara did you read? Did you read quarter? Did you read half? How many mistakes did you get? Everything okay? This was the mindset of this family. What has my daughter done? Beta, have you read your salah? And Dr. Saab said, perhaps I am the last individual to have spoken to my family that Thursday night. At approximately 10 past 11, I rang home. And I spoke to everyone, subhanAllah. And it was very strange. And he gave a strange account. He said there was something there. And I spoke at length. And my son, he was in bed, of course, very tired. Kids, they have a mission. When you're studying alim class, it's very, very difficult. You have so many kitabs. And so when night comes, you're tired. And subhanAllah, speaking to the other children that were there, one of the sons, perhaps it was Bilal or Jamal, and he said, oh, is that Papa? Is that Dad? And he actually came out to speak to his dad. And he spoke to his dad and he spoke to everybody. And then the last conversation he had was with his wife. And he said that the last thing my wife said to me is that I think I will put the phone now because we have to wake up for Fajr Salah. Ajeeb. Look at the mindset. We have to wake up for Fajr Salah. That is it. And this was the Allah Hafiz of this one man. The last individual to talk to all of his family members. And he bought a house here with the sole intention. This man can buy a house in any area. In any part of the world. Any part of the world, really. Any part of the world. And can have any luxury that he wants. There is no one to stop him. Alhamdulillah. But he chose a humble accommodation, Wood Hill. Humble accommodation. Why? So that there is clear access for the wife and the daughters just to go quickly to the madrasa, come back. The children can pray Fajr Salah in the masjid, can come back. And this was his thinking, this entire family. SubhanAllah. Ajeeb, ajeeb family. This is how the family was. And in the last year, in fact this year, Shanila Apa qualified as an alima. MashaAllah. At the age of, she was 47 years of age. 47 years of age. And there is a recording of her lecture that she had given to the women folks. And amazingly, there were a few points what she said. She spoke fluent Urdu and she said, Bhai dunya kiske liye baki rahi hai ke aaj dunya hamare liye baki rahegi. Has dunya ever accommodated anyone that it will accommodate us? And she said that, you know what, do something in this world so that when death comes to you, at least you have something to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajeeb. These were the words of this very pious lady. And the daughter was actually in the final year of her alima course in Bukhari Sharif that year. And the son, mashallah, had completed hifz and was in the first year Arbi Awwal. First year Arbi Awwal. Now Bilal was very intelligent in IT and computer, as a lot of the children are nowadays. And so recently Dr. Saab was saying, Maulana Saab, my only ambition in life was that my children become scholars of the Quran. Bas. Nothing else. I am not a man against secular education and to be professional. Alhamdulillah, people should endeavor and work hard in every profession. But as an individual, as a father, My ambition is that my children become scholars of the Quran. And he said, I was so happy that this year both of my children prayed Taraweeh in the Dawah Center in Ireland. And can you imagine this man? 90% of his salary goes to the path of Allah. Honestly. This entire project, this entire Dawah Center. And I used to say to him, I said, Dr. Saab, give the opportunity to others. Maulana Saab, dena ho to de, dena ho to. What will I take with me? Ajeem. Allahu Akbar. What living, what madhab. What living, what madhab. And when we were in Ireland, traveling from one part to another, and we were in his car. So I said to him, I said, Dr. Saab, don't you think as a doctor we should buy you a new car or another car? And he said, no, Maulana Saab, you know, a comfortable car may turn you away from Allah. Ajeeb. A comfortable car may turn you away from... This level was very different. His level was very different. Hafiz Sulaiman Saab was there with us. So his thinking was very different. A man who would sleep on the floor. On the floor, not even a mattress. A simple, humble, Allahu Akbar, Ajeeb style. Everything was dedicated, everything what he did was wholly, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was his maqsad. So this house was bought so that my family can easily move around from one place to another place, one place to another place, pray salah, mashallah, read and become scholars, and they read Taraweeh. And he says, I was so happy my son was reading the Quran. Imagine that my son is the imam and I am his muqtadi. And I am listening to his Quran. I am so happy. And so he said that, you know, recently what had happened is that because he was good at computers, Bilal said to me that, Dad, if you want, I can do some business, online business, Saturday, Sunday, weekends. And I can do that, and I'm good at that. So Dr. Saab looked at Bilal and said, Bilal. And he says, okay, you know what, I'll give you money if you want to sort of start your business, whatever. But Dr. Saab was not satisfied. And he said to Bilal, he said, Bilal, my son, listen. He said, why do you want to do business? So the son said that, oh, Dad, you know what, I've seen a lot of people that... They become successful also at a very young age. I have complete intention to become an alim, and a half is a have, but alhamdulillah, these are my skills. Maybe I can help you. Maybe I can. So the father said, no, forget this. Don't do anything. Just study at the moment and dekha jayega. We will see in the future. We will see in the future. And the mother then said to Dr. Saab that, look, you know, when Bilal talks about computer, the best thing is ignore him. Slowly he will forget this. Slowly he will forget this. But you see him in the madrasa, always smiling and always working hard. And this unit of four individuals remained together all the time. Ajeeb, all the time. Subhanallah al-Azim. Hamesha, hamesha, they were together. And the maqsad was, Dr. Saab, he said that, you know, in England, mashallah, you have all the institutes, you have the madaris, you have the marakis, you have everything. But I need to work in an area where there is no Islam. And I want to work in Ireland. So for that, I need my wife to be an alima, my daughter to be an alima, and she has to be very professional in the recitation of the Quran, and for my children also to be huffaz and scholars, so that when I go back to Dublin with the family to settle down, and when we have our masjid and our intentions to open up Islamic education centers, inshallah ta'ala, it becomes easy. And we can also do something like how the people of England are enjoying, and especially the people of Leicester. This was his intention. That with the women, the wife and the daughter will work, and then with the men folks himself and the sons, and everybody is also there to do khidmat. These were the people, subhanallah. And you have people like Dr. Saab and his family still alive today, subhanallah. Despite the fact that Allah has given them so much dunya, but they neared the intention, subhanallah, was only to please Allah and his Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And imagine when death came to them, what a death it was. In the hadith it comes that if you die on a Friday, that is also shahadat. Dying on a Friday is also shahadat. So that is one shahadat. And another shahadat clearly mentioned in the hadith is that, of course, if somebody dies with fire or by fire, that is also shahadat. So one shahadat, two shahadat, and then yawmul jumu'ah. And then in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, anyone who migrates for the sake of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have migrated only for Allah and his Rasul. So this migration was only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And any man who does hijrat for the sake of dunya or for a woman, then that hijrat is for his intention. In the hadith it comes. And so they migrated only for the sake of Allah. And then, subhanallah, another thing also, that all of them were students of Islam. Every single one of them. مَنْ خَرَجَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ خَرَجَ فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ. Anyone who goes out in search for knowledge is in the path of Allah until he returns back. Look at the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this one family. Look at the dedication that was there. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited them and kept them all together. And the mother was finding it difficult. She said that myself and Zainab, we have qualified and we have become alima, and so we have to return back to Ireland. What will happen to Jamal and Bilal? And the mother was finding it difficult to leave the children. So what are we to do? And subhanallah, until now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept them together. And when we actually spoke to the police, myself and Dr. Saab were there, and they gave him first-hand information of everything. And they say, it's amazing. We've never seen anything like that. That there was no movement, there was nothing. It's amazing, as if, and they said that there was nothing external suffering that we can tell you of, that they died of. Nothing like that. Just like someone as if they are just unconscious and just have passed away. Kuch nahi pata. In fact, some of the people, neighbors, we heard that they threw stones and they were trying to speak to somebody, but no noise. Of course, there was an article about this Daily Mirror, but that's not confirmed at all. And people write a lot of things in the newspaper article. But the police are shocked also, and they said that in 30 years we have not seen anything like this. Anything like this. And I said also in my Wednesday Dars, as if so Allah has made the whole world subservient to them. Everybody is out there wanting to help him, wanting to help him. Wanting to help him. Just today, Keith Waz phones me and he says, oh Imam, can you tell Dr. Saab that I believe that he's got a brother and a sister from Karachi, and because in Karachi you don't have a lot of activity with the Irish community there, and so it will take time for them to be granted a Schengen visa to go to Ireland from Pakistan, Islamabad, or is it Karachi, I'm not sure. And so that will be difficult. And so Keith Waz said that I want you to tell him that I have organized with the immigration officers here that we have already given the family members visa to come to this country, and tell the brothers to come to London. We will issue a Schengen visa for them at the Heathrow airport when they come here. عجيب. يعني بوري دنيا have become خدامز, you know. It's so hard, you know, your immigration and all that. And for one, as you can do it for your own country, but talking on behalf of another country. And we'll do that. Don't worry, we've spoken to with the Irish community and the immigration officers. We've talked with them. And Schengen visas will be given to them. And I mentioned also Sheikh Salah al-Budair, the Imam of Masjid Nabawi, a prominent Imam. His wish is to meet Dr. Saab. And so he sends somebody. And in fact, the plan was that I will actually come to see him. But because the visit in Leicester was set in a way that everything sorted by the embassy perhaps. And so he could not make any amendments for that. And so Dr. Saab had to come from Masjid Falah to visit him. And made him sit next to him. And the Imam of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 5 minutes is giving him nothing but dua. Giving him nothing but dua. Look at that, ajeeb. Yesterday praying Maghrib Salam, Azan is taking place. Oh, Mali Sahab, this is the tafsir of the Quran given as a gift from Sheikh al Hadith, Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab to Dr. Sahab. Oh, bhai, what is happening? This honor, this privilege, this honor, this privilege. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah gives honor to whom He wills. Allah gives honor to whom He wills. But this is a sign of qabuliyat. What do we call? Qabuliyat. Now just to explain, of course, one side of it, the shahadat aspect of it is that, oh, sometimes as human beings we talk about the pain and suffering. What do we talk about? The pain and suffering, the fire, subhanallah. And if you look at the property today, it's nothing but the bricks that are visible. And so the first thing that shaitan puts in the mind is pain and suffering, but by we are Muslims. Pain and suffering is only natural for individuals to think of, but people of Iman don't see it that way. What is happening behind the screen, only Allah knows. Only Allah? Only Allah knows. That is why the story of Ashabi Ukhdud in Surah Buruj, it is mentioned. And a story that is mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, Rahmatullah Alayh. And these historical events are also connected of Ashabi Ukhdud. When this king, of course, did not like people who were accepting Iman and who believed in Allah. And so the entire city that had believed in Allah, what he did is that he told his army to dig trenches and lit them with fire. Lit them with fire. And everybody was thrown in the fire. And so this old lady, a mother, came with her baby, and of course she understood her fate that she will also be thrown inside. And so the guards took the baby first and threw the baby inside. And so the mother is seeing that the baby is burning or whatever. And then the guard said, now you have to jump. And she was also scared a bit. Of course you're scared. In the hadith it comes that the baby spoke out and said, mother, don't hesitate. Quickly come in and jump. Quickly come in and jump. But with your naked eye, what do you see? Fire. Fire that is burning. But by in this world, if human beings can give ease and comfort to people, and they give you anesthetic, and they operate on you, and your entire chest is open up, and there's a team of doctors that are looking at your internal organs, moving them around, everything that is there, and you are just sleeping, no pain, mashallah, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours cooperation, after the operation, and he wakes up, and the nurse or whatever, somebody will say to him, the doctors will tell him, the operation is done. Did you see anything? Did you feel anything? What will he say? Kuch nahi. Bhai, main to so gaya tha. Anesthetic. If insan can do that, if insan can do that, imagine the malaika, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the world is designed in a way that we see all of these things. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandson
was martyred with his entire family in the plains of Karbala. Sahi ya ghalat? Sahi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's uncle, Hazrat Hamza, his body was mutilated. But we are to see, and we have heard of this, but in reality, behind the screens, who knows? Only Allah knows. You go and open up a grave, 50, 60 years old, ki grave purani, and you see there is nothing in there but bones. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, this is what Allah wants you to see. But in reality, this grave is a pit of fire or a garden of Jannah, a garden of, and that is our iman. Because behind the screen, it is something else. Behind the screen, it is something else. And so in Islam, as human beings, we may think of pain and suffering, but khair, this is nothing. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. Allah is very merciful. Just wanted to mention two dreams to you, my brothers. Because after death, there is nothing but basharat. Remember Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Uthman, I am now waiting for you. Come and do iftari with me. Come and do iftari with me. Oh, subhanallah, kya shan. Uthman, I am waiting for you. Come quickly and do iftari with me. And he said to his wife that, bas, now I am going. Now I am going. Hazrat Bilal is dying and in his last hours, minutes of his life. And the wife is crying and the wife is crying. So Hazrat Bilal is saying, why are you crying, bhai? Why are you crying? What is this? You should be happy. Gadan, tomorrow I will meet my Nabi and my companions. And you are crying here. Ajeeb iman tha, bhai. Ajeeb iman. Ajeeb iman. Subhanallah ilazim. And so Dr. Saab's wife, Shanil Apa, and he told me this just personally when he rang me. He said, Maulana Saab, I said to him, Dr. Saab, how are you in Dublin, your first day and night? You're alone, everything okay? He goes, oh, Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy. And he said, I'm happy, you know why? Because my wife's good friend, of course, she was in pain and she could not sleep. She could not sleep. And it's also difficult for some of the girls who are studying in the madrasa and who are with Zainab, and to see the girl, Zainab, obviously in this condition that she has passed away. Of course, it's disturbing for some of the younger girls. So this lady also, she could not sleep. And she said to Dr. Saab, Dr. Saab, Ajeeb, something has happened. And she said, I went to sleep, and in the night when I went to sleep, I was sitting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was sitting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sitting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said, Bari ta'ala, you know, this family, perhaps it was not their time to come. They were young. They were young. And all of them perished and all of them died in this way. And I know I am in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she says that ghaib se awaz aayi. Ghaib se awaz aayi. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to me in my dream and said to me, the knowledge that I have, you don't have. What did he say? The same thing that Allah had said to the angels, when the angel said, Ya Allah, are you going to create human beings, Adam alayhi salam, people who will shed blood and who will cause mischief? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. What I know, you don't have that knowledge. Now remember, this was in the dream. Ajeeb khab, mashallah, basharat, glad tidings, something. And then she said that, khair, after a bit, she said that all of them got burnt and the house got burnt also. All of them got burnt and the house also got burnt. And then again I heard a voice telling me from ghaib. And remember, these are things Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the dream, a person can see anything. That is why you'll find that even Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, and a lot of the great shuyukh had seen all this also. And so, Ajib, the second time she heard, and she was told, that she was told that the fire was going to burn the house anyway at Wood Hill. There was a house that was going to be burned at Wood Hill. But I did not want to give shahadat to the wrong people. I wanted to give shahadat to the most pious. What was it? I did not want to give shahadat to the wrong people. I wanted to give shahadat to the most pious. And so what we see perhaps about pain and suffering, that is different. And then this lady in the morning when she woke up and then she phoned Dr. Saab, you know, this is what I have seen. This is what I have seen. In fact, there was a dream that was also mentioned to Sheikh Salah al-Budair. Sheikh Salah al-Budair and I was there. In case, you know, you get all these modern versions of people, you know, they say, oh, by what kind of a dream is this and this and that? Bichare, they don't believe in all that. This is a disease and sickness. And in fact, dreams is also basharat and glad tidings. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day after Fajr would say, has anybody seen a dream? Has anybody seen a dream? People see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People have seen as if they have heard a voice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something to them. Of course, nobody is claiming that they have seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or anything like that. It's just a voice that was heard. And so in front of Sheikh Salah al-Budair, Dr. Saab said that, oh, you know, somebody had seen a dream that my wife was wearing green clothes and my children were wearing white clothes and they were very happy. And Sheikh said that, Bushra, these were the words. Bushra. Glad tidings for you. This is good news for you. And then one of the individuals, mashallah, who lives not far from Jamia Masjid, he also came, the one who actually took us to Sheikh Salah al-Budair. And he said that, I have also seen a dream that the house was burning. Again, I'm seeing this. As I repeat that the house was burning, and I started panicking. I said, Allahu Akbar, Dr. Saab ka ghar abhi jal raha hai again. So in the dream, he's saying that this house is still burning. And then I looked up, and very high up, I saw that the children were in the middle, and the wife was on one side, and the daughter was on one side, and they were happy, and they were talking, and they were pointing down towards the house, and they were saying to one another, that Amma, look, that all of these people think that what has happened, and they are crying and they are feeling sorry for us. But subhanallah, how Allah has honored us. How Allah has honored us. So this is mashallah, knowledge of the unseen, my respected brothers. Shahadat is shahadat. What is it? Shahadat is shahadat. And that is why, mashallah, of good people, we remember them in a way of their good deeds. This is our haqq. And so this family that came and they did hijrat, and all of them were also students, and they came only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also our duty, mashallah, to make dua for them and also to remember them and to also assist the family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jannah to all of the deceased. Jitne logo ka intiqal ho gaya, Allah har ek ko jannah de. Hamare Suleiman bhai Nathalia, unka bhi hal mein intiqal hua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give him Jannah. All our family members, relations that have passed away, Allah give them all Jannah. Allah open the doors of Jannah for this ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya rahim.